Well, I thank the Lord for that song. I think that it seems like it brought back to me the story of in the Old Testament of the prophet's servant that couldn't see the help that they had there for them, and the Lord had to open their eyes where they could see all the hills full of angels. And many times I feel like that we miss it, not being able to see maybe the needs around us. Yesterday, Rodney and I went and looked at an old house. We crawled underneath and we looked through all the rooms, and then we crawled up in the attic and we discovered lots of things. And after it was all over, I was telling him about what I saw and what needed to be done. And he said, "Okay, I see that." He said, "I looked at it the other day and I didn't." And it's just, you know, there's, Lord help us to be able to see the needs around us and not just be able to see the needs, but be able to see how we can help in that and find our place to be a part of His kingdom. So I'd like to write a couple words up on the board. And I really just picked these two words so that it would cause you to stop to think. Not because it's words that probably anybody here uses on a regular basis, but so the words I've wrote on the board or written on the board is architectural rendering. And so I wrote that up there because I think it sounds kind of impressive. Anybody know what an architectural rendering is? I remember one time I went to visit with my parents. I went to visit one of my uncle and aunts, and their children were considerably older than my brother and I. So when we got there, it was just my aunt and uncle, and of course our family, their children had already graduated high school and went through college, and I think they'd already left home for jobs, and maybe they were all married. I don't remember all of that details, but one of the things that we were staying, seems like in a bedroom, spent a night or two there, and we were staying in a bedroom kind of upstairs, and on a shelf or something there was a 3D model, and we're talking about back in the 70s, folks, okay, so this has been a while. There was a 3D rendering of an architectural thing, and I don't know, I guess you would call it as much a model as it was a rendering, because it was like it was made out of cardboard or some kind of paper, and it showed elevation, and this cousin of mine ended up being an architect for the railroad, so it had railroad tracks, and it was showing a switch or a bridge, I don't remember all the details, but it was like this, I thought it was the neatest little thing that you could ever imagine, and it was like a miniature scale 3D rendering or picture. You know, it had little telephone poles and cross ties and layers of like paper type material to show the little hills and valleys and all of that. Anyway, I thought it was very fascinating. So, an architectural rendering is done. There's companies out there. I found a company called 3D Imaging Quick or something like 3D Quick or something out there. So you can company, if you have a drawing for a building or a drawing for a subdivision or a highway or something like that, you could email your engineering drawings as far as elevations and all your points and all of that to them. And they have software to plug all of these data points in and create a picture. It's an artificial picture, of course, but create a picture with grass on the areas that's supposed to have grass and pavement where it's supposed to be pavement. And maybe if it's a building, it would have windows where they're supposed to be and doors and ramps and roofing and all of that, where it looks like a picture of a finished product, but they haven't even broke ground yet. That's the whole point of an architectural rendering, is a picture of what the end result's supposed to be, and it's not even really got started, or maybe you're somewhere in the process. So I've seen some of the drawings Jessica has done, and I know that there's times that she's looked at, she's taken her imagination and the measurements and kind of designed a cabinet or something for the bathroom that they're working on, and has drawn a picture of what she thinks it will look like when they're done. So that's kind of an architectural vision. It's not done. They haven't ordered any cabinets yet that I know of. But here is something that she has created with using her mind and using measurements and using the space that you've got, and she's created a picture or an image where someone else can look at it and say, oh, so that's what you had in mind. That's what you're thinking about. So the whole point of being able to have an architectural rendering is to be able to communicate to other people what you have in your mind and what you're thinking about. I can try to describe something to another person about something I'm working on, or a component or a part or a tool or something of that nature, but unless they have an image or maybe an old a piece in their hand, it's hard for them to envision really what you're talking about. So I'd like for us to turn to Acts. We've got a couple verses that we're going to read. I'd like to ask the Lord to help us that our throat doesn't play out on us. But let's go to Acts chapter 2. And I would like to read beginning in verse 14. And we'll read down a few verses. It says, but Peter, standing up with... with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So, the point I want us to get a hold of is Peter here is quoting from the prophet Joel, and it's in the Old Testament, and we have that verse, and we're going to read it just for clarification. But he refers to the prophet Joel, and he says, Joel says, I'm going to pour, that God prophesied, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. In Joel it says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. The same exact correlation, he just says it backwards, but old men dreaming dreams, young men seeing visions. And Joel says it's in the future. Peter says, now's the time. Now's the time for the young men to dream, to see visions, and the old men to dream dreams. So I'm thinking about visions. Visions and dreams, this is to go along with the architectural rendering that we've been talking about. Visions and dreams can include some pretty powerful and vivid pictures. Would you agree with that? I've had some dreams sometimes that seemed so real that they made me holler out in my sleep and wake myself up. And it's real that whatever that distressful situation that I thought I was in and I was dreaming about, it seemed so vivid that I couldn't help but holler out and then realize I just woke myself up. So a vision is not a dream, and a dream is not a vision. But a vision is more in the lines of an architectural rendering, if you will. Visions and dreams project our energies, particularly visions, project our energies and our desires out in the future. It's not something, dreams sometimes go back in the past. Maybe you have a dream or a nightmare about something that happened when you were young or when you was in a bad situation, and maybe you can't keep from dreaming about something that was negative, a loss or a disappointment in life. But generally speaking, a vision is something that projects our energies out into the future. We have visions sometimes, and we sign ourselves up for something that we want, and because we have a vision of how beneficial it's going to be to us in life, we sign ourselves up for payments. You ever notice that? We decide that we need that automobile, we need that house, that major tool purchase, whatever it is, and we sign ourselves up for payments. And when we get it, that thing is, whether it's a brand new thing or it's new to us, it's just what we've been wanting. It's just what we needed. It's going to make a difference in our life. And we sign up for, it's one thing if it's just a month worth of payments, maybe four payments or something like that. But if you sign up for 48 months or 72 months, or maybe you sign up for a 20-year mortgage or a 30-year mortgage or something like that. People buy houses a lot of times, buy them on a 30-year mortgage. We won't go into what I think you ought to do, but anyway, you signed up for a 30-year mortgage on a house, and you moved into, maybe, let's say it's a new house. You move into a new house, carpet's new, the paint is fresh and new, and the doors are all new, and everything is in perfect working order, and oh, this is a wonderful place. And that first month's payment is like, I am so happy to be here. And there is something so ruthless about payments. Did you know If you pay, how many months is 30 years worth of payments? How much? 360 payments. And we don't know what your payment is, but if you're signed up for 360 of those things, when you get to that last one, you know that last payment is just as much as that first payment? And 360 payments later, do you think that house has got any scuff marks on it anywhere? Maybe the door, you got to jiggle the knob to get it to close or get it to open, and maybe the carpet is torn, or maybe there's a crack in a window pane, or maybe you got to jiggle the handle on the faucet to make it shut off, or there's just all of that thing, but that last payment is just as much as the first payment is. But our vision was that we're going to get this, and it's going to be such an incredible blessing to us. And when, at 360 payments later, it's all going to belong to us. That's the vision. So you know what's important for us to do? It's important for us to keep the architectural rendering or the vision painted and communicated to everybody that lives in that house so that when you get to that 360th payment, you feel like you still got what you set out to get. Otherwise, you'll get down there to payment 347 or something like that, and you'll be so discouraged with making the payments, you might decide you want to quit and forfeit your vision. So, you can't see a vision or a dream with your natural eye. Would you agree with me? It's something that's in your head. It's something that you have to cultivate, all right? Peter and Joel both referred to visions as belonging to young men and dreams to old. Do you know it takes energy to cast a vision for others? Takes energy to cast vision for others. You buy that new house, and maybe your children weren't even born when you bought the house. And your children come along, and you've got to continually cast a vision. Sweep the floor, pick up your toys, don't slam the door, don't plow into the woodwork with your toys or whatever it is. We're trying to keep this house so at payment 360, we're still happy to live here. You're still trying to keep that vision in their mind because they don't know. And it's going to take a lot of your energy to keep that vision for them painted out there. This is what we want to have when we're done. We want a house that needs to be torn down. We want a house that we still enjoy living in, that's still marketable, that still has great value. So we need to keep, it's going to take a lot of your energy to keep painting that vision and keep that vision before those little ones coming on. And maybe the other adults that live there, I don't know. It takes a person with vision to cast a vision. If you don't have a vision, you're not going to be able to have a vision, cast a vision for someone else. If you're just kind of following the breadcrumb trail and you don't have a vision of where you're going or why you're going there or what you're going to do when you get there, you can't make a vision for somebody else. If your vision is just to go to work one more day, and that's all the vision is for the family is, I got to go to work one more day. And tomorrow it's one more day, I got to go to work. It's hard for you to cast a vision for your children that when they grow up, they can become something that's fulfilling to them. Just one more meal to prepare. One more snotty nose to clean up, whatever it is. No, we're training future adults, capable people. The vision is that these little ones that don't talk yet, and the ones that's barely talking, and the ones that sometimes ask questions that just one right after another, and we don't know, we don't feel like they remember anything, and all of those kind of things, we can begin to look at it as just one episode of trouble after another. But instead, I really believe the Lord wants us to have a vision to be able to cast a vision. It's going to take energy. And He wants you as young parents to be able to have a vision. This little child that I'm holding, one of these days, I want her to be able, I want him to be able to do whatever it is. Have a vision for them. Maybe not a vision for them when they're 30, but a vision for them when they're 12 or 13 or 10. And begin to, when you get to be 10, you should be able to, whatever it is, begin to cast that vision. This is why I'm teaching you. This is why I'm disciplined. This is why I'm training you, so that you would have, this is what I want you to be able to do. I don't want you to just be warmed and filled one day after another. We're doing this so you'll have enough strength to do something bigger and something better. A vision, obviously, is a picture in our mind of a completed project or a completed goal. Casting the vision is keeping the picture of the completed project or the completed goal painted in vivid enough colors that others want to do that and others want to join in. So, as we think about life, we think about dreams too. What's dreams? If a vision is this end result that we're looking for and this goal that we're aiming for, what's a dream? A dream to me seems much more flighty. Have you ever noticed that dreams many times pick up in the middle of the story and you don't know how you got there or why you started this? Or it's like, how did I get outside and forget to get dressed? Have you ever had those kind of dreams? Those are some of the most terrifying to me. It's like there was no, it didn't start with me getting up and stumbling out of the house. I'm just, all of a sudden I find myself, I'm at Walmart or I'm uptown next to the whatever. And it's like, how did I get here? Dreams are flighty. That's what I'm saying. A dream and a vision is not the same thing. It may be an idea with no feet on it to make it a reality. It's just a dream. And many times a dream is something that starts, it's a reflection, or it's something that I dream about, and yet I don't know how to put it in, make it into a vision. I don't know how to communicate it. So I just dream these little dreams. I have these little air castles floating around in my head, and one pops in and pumps another one out. And you know, dreams, have you ever had a dream that was just really fulfilling to you? I've had dreams where I woke me up and I was, my chest was pounding, my heart's pounding. It's like, I'm glad that was a dream. And other times there's dreams that you have and it's like, oh, everything is going so good and so nice. And then just about the time that it comes to a place of real fulfillment and happiness, you reach out to touch that person that you thought had passed away or whatever it is. All of a sudden you wake up and you realize it's a dream. No, I'm not with my dad anymore. It's the reality is he passed away. And those kind of those kind of things, they're never really, it's just one thing, and then it's always something random, it seems like. You know, a vision is more likely to actually accomplish something than a dream ever is. I believe that's why he says that the young men would see visions. You know what the most likely person is to be able to accomplish an end result of a big vision is a young person. You're going to have some time to see it to the end. If I had a vision of a big major accomplishment, some of y'all might say, Brother Dan, you think you got enough time for that? How are you going to make that happen? But some of you young men, it's possible for you to have a vision and see it through. But you're going to have it clear, and you're going to have to cast that vision, because you're going to need some help and you're going to need some support. I'd like to turn to Proverbs 29 and verse 18. It says here, Proverbs 29 and 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where the vision is not kept alive. Where there is no clear direction, the people perish. There's going to come deterioration. You know, if you don't keep the vision alive of taking good care of what you have or what you're trying to make the payments on, you're going to end up with a pile of rubbish. I've seen it happen many, many times in my life. People start out, they're so enthused about having this new car. And they go down the road a little bit, and before long I see it come in, and it's got scrapes on it, and it's got some rubbish in there that somebody didn't clean out. And one thing leads to something else, and you come to find out that then they have a major breakdown, and this car looks pitiful. It's got mismatched tires on it, maybe a torn seat. It stinks inside. And then you tell them that it needs some money spent under the hood, and it's like, I don't want this thing anymore. Why not? Because they lost their vision. Why did they buy the thing in the first place? Just to run it into the ground? That's what it looks like. That's not what they said they were buying it for. This is going to be the last new car I ever buy. I've heard that many times. And down the road just a little bit, it's like they wish they could get rid of it. Because they don't like making payments on something that looks as bad as they got. No vision. People perish. A vision for a long-term objective for small children is very necessary. You parents need a vision for them. Keep painting it. If you don't have a clear vision of where you want them to be, then ask the Lord to help you know how to have that vision and to cast that vision for them. Our vision should be for the type of adult, maybe not the exact adult, but the type of adult that you want them to be. You know, I would tease my boys sometimes that, you know, they make chemicals to spray on certain plants that would kind of make them, I wouldn't say dormant, it just kind of causes them to stop growing so they can start producing fruit. And I used to tease them that I was going to get them up where they were just real good help and then squirt them with something so I could keep them around and be my helpers. Of course, they don't make that product. And of course, I really I really wouldn't want to do that to them. I really wouldn't want a house full of 14-year-olds and keep them for 20 years at my house. I want us to have a vision of our children growing up and maturing. Yes, they're really small. I want to enjoy their cute little stages and their first smiles and their first work. I want to enjoy all of that. But I want us to have a vision. What kind of adult do I want them to be? You know, congregations shrivel up and die because of a lack of vision. Individual experiences of salvation fizzle out because of a lack of vision. You don't have a vision of where I'm headed in eternity. Maybe you don't have, somebody doesn't have a vision of what it means to have a real relationship with the Lord. Material things, whether it be our equipment, whether it be our homes, whether it be our automobiles, or it can just be the infrastructure. They can fail due to a lack of vision. I'll never forget the time that I went in the house that somebody had rented. And when they moved away, I was just checking things to see how they worked and realized a family of four had been living there in a one-bedroom house. And I put run water in the bathtub, and I come back the next day and it was still there. It didn't drain. How did they manage? I just don't know how they managed. How did it get that way? I worked to clear out a drain pipe that was clogged up. But it happened a little bit at a time. You know, I think at my house, the first time that the bath water didn't drain all the way, my wife would say, "We got to fix something. We need to address that." A vision has little emotion. I want you to remember this. A vision has little emotion except passion. This is something I got to work on. This is something I got to accomplish. This is something I got to maintain. I got to put it back where I found it. I got to do it. I got to take care of this. That's a passion. That's a drive. And a dream is something that has emotions that run the full spectrum. A dream can go from melancholy to ecstatic, and it can change very quickly. A dream, our emotions are just all over the board. But a vision has few emotions outside of passion. This is what I'm working towards. This is what I got to do. This is a burning passion that I have. Maybe that'll help us determining whether we have dreams or whether we have vision. Dreams can cause us to be hopeful but not purposeful. You ever notice that? You can dream about having a trim waistline, or you can dream about having a tidy house, or an automobile in good repair, or a house that's kept up, or any, you can dream about that, but it won't give you much purpose. It can just be a random thought, and your emotions can just go up and down. But a vision is going to cause you to have purpose. You're going to have passion. You're going to have some drive about it. And yes, there's going to be times it's going to be happy. You know, there's going to be times that one of my first lawn mowing jobs that I got was because it got hot, and the boy that had been mowing this lady's lawn wouldn't mow grass when it got up there past 90. Really? You know, in the summertime, it's liable to get past 90. Why do you ever take on the responsibility of cutting grass if you didn't cut grass when it got over 90? Got too hot to cut grass. Well, I found out that my vision was not just cutting grass. My vision was to earn some money because I wanted to use that money to buy something else. That was my vision. And that's what caused me to have some passion about it and what caused me to go cut the grass. And you know, once I started cutting their grass, that poor boy never had another job there. I took his job away from him. Vision and passion will give us direction and take us to long-term goals. A vision doesn't have much emotion. At the end of a dream is reality. At the end of a dream is reality. My grandpa told a story that he was dreaming that he was walking across a bridge. And as he was walking across the bridge, he dreamed he fell off of the bridge. And he grabbed onto the bridge as he fell. And he held on just as long as he could. And he could feel the cold water brushing his shirt and his back. And he held on just as long as he could in his dream until finally he couldn't hold on anymore. And he turned loose. And when he did, he hit the floor. He had fell out of bed. And on his way out of falling out of bed, he had grabbed a hold of the bed frame. And he was hanging underneath the bed and swinging back and forth. And that floor was just barely touching his back. And at the end of his dream was reality. And at the end of vision is the objective. Okay? At the end of a vision is an objective. The dream just brings us back to the reality that whatever emotion was going on in our hearts and our minds, the reality is if I didn't have a vision about accomplishing something, about raising my children, about fixing my house or fixing my machinery or whatever, then the reality is it's right where it was if I'm just dreaming about it. So thinking about some of my visions and some of my dreams, and I'd like to think that I'm still young enough to have some vision. And I know I'm old enough to start just dreaming. To where it said the old men would dream dreams, maybe dream about how it used to be and all of that. And it seems like it doesn't matter hardly what kind of subject comes up. I got a story I can tell, something I've experienced. And it's partly because I'm getting old, and I realize that. But I know that I've had some visions in my life. Peter said young men would see visions. Something that had purpose. Something that had some passion in it. So I want to tell you some of my visions this morning that has to do with the congregation here. Some of my vision is, men, that the congregation here would be doctrinally sound. It's been some of my vision. That's why you hear me say sometimes at the beginning of the message, this is a doctrinal message. I want you to get a hold of something that'll help you when the winds of doctrine have blown all around us, and I don't want your emotions to be affected by that. Some of my vision is that we would be spiritually alive as a congregation, that any one of us could step up to the plate, so to speak, when there's a need that needs to be taken care of. I've watched this happen from time to time, and it's always a blessing to my heart when I see someone that might not typically take a responsibility, but yet there was a need arise, and they, it was just like they stepped right up to the plate and hit the ball, so to speak. Some of my vision is being a congregation that can and does function as a spiritual hospital. I want souls to be able to come here and feel that they're loved, and feel like there's hope, and feel like there's a direction to get a hold of God, instead of just coming and feeling like we go through a routine. I want people to come and realize the benefit of salvation. I want them to see something in action to where they would say, I believe that's a place where I can go and feel safe and secure. Some of my vision is that the congregation here would be one that the gifts of the Spirit or the spiritual body would be visible. I want that to be true. There's a lot of gifts that doesn't seem like it's very visible in our world today. But I'd like for it to be different here. It's been some of my vision. My vision has been that this place would be a place where people would want to come. Not like they're coerced or have to come, but that they want to come. And if someone has left, it's not been my mode of action to go and try to convince them to come back. I want them to come because they want to, because they feel that it's beneficial, and because they feel like they're part of a vision. I wanted the facility to be comfortable. It takes a lot of passion to make that happen. One of my visions has been that the congregation would be of sufficient numbers to impact the community around us. I'd like to see more of my vision fulfilled before I'm gone, before I'm just stuck with dreaming dreams. I'd like for all of us to be encouraged this morning. You're most all of you younger than me, to be very selective in your visions and allow yourself to develop a real passion about adhering to your vision. Please be careful in choosing the vision for your families, for your home structure, for the spiritual direction that you take. I want you to be solid. I want you to be steadfast. I'd like for you to be part of this vision for the congregation, that you can be there, be part of it, cause it to blossom and to grow. You know, the scripture talks about faith as a grain of mustard seed and how big a thing it can be. And I believe a vision is something that, if it's projected in the right manner, others can take it and go on with it. I think of, and I believe it's changed somewhat from the original vision that Sam Walton had, but Sam Walton had a vision about retail marketing, and it's changed our United States. I think all of us would agree with that. And they continue to change our United States, And it seems like they're in control of marketing, almost. But you know, if it hadn't passed on, a vision hadn't passed on to another generation, it wouldn't be where it's at today. And congregations that grow, and congregations that are stable, and congregations that are established long term, is because somebody else catches the vision. It's because somebody else, hopefully somebody's else, that's how it really prospers, is when more than one has a vision and begins to put their energy into that, and energy into casting the vision for others. Just want to challenge you this morning to really get a clear vision of what your role is for the Lord, where He wants you to be in His kingdom. I pray that you would bear with us today and take our thoughts home with you. I think I'm going to stop right there. You pray for me.